First reading today, Luke 15, 3 through 7. So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together with his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there we will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who represents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
Our second scripture reading, taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May your Spirit be upon us, Heavenly Father, that your word can be more fully known to us this day. We pray this through your love, in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the bald eagle is a prominent symbol in America. And you see this displayed on prominent government structures throughout the nation, especially in the nation's capital. On the presidential seal, there is an eagle representing the highest office in the land. And you also see this eagle on seals representing different branches of the military, as well as government agencies and departments. And that is because the eagle represents freedom. You know, an eagle doesn't have to travel in flocks, groups. It soars high above the ground all by itself. This eagle represents independence. It knows how to take care of itself. It has the ability to hunt for its own food, and those foreboding claws are able to defending itself. It's a fitting American symbol representing strength, independence, and freedom. It's like that song from the 1970s that used to say, "I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. I want to fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free." Now that I have that song playing in your head, you're probably going to be listening to that, you know, while I'm trying to talk. If there ever was a creature that we would want to emulate, it's this one. And yet, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, this is the animal Jesus likens us to. A sheep is emphatically not an eagle. It's an animal that does not soar. And I would attend Sunday school as a boy. I had these vivid memories of the stories about the shepherd and the sheep, how the Sunday school teacher, she would hold this felt board in her hands and she would tell stories about how Jesus is the shepherd and we're the sheep. And as she's telling the story, we would put those images up on the felt board. I remember one Sunday a friend and I decided to put Elmer's glue on the figures as we put them on the felt board, and then I wasn't allowed to do it anymore after that. But anyway, that image was always a very positive one for me. Jesus is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. Jesus, the shepherd, is the one who takes care of us, the one who nurtures us, and protects us. It's not until later in life that I came to realize that sheep are not really very impressive animals. They're rather lazy. They must be coaxed and prodded. And unfortunately, sheep aren't very smart either. You know, a sheep quickly becomes lost when and disoriented when cut off from the fold and will walk around in circles over and over again. Notice that you never heard anybody say, that person is as sly as a sheep. And a sheep doesn't have much brawn to make up for its lack of brain either. Because when the wolf attacks, the sheep has no chance. And even if all the sheep kind of band together, and they still can't create a protective force for themselves, you take 100 sheep, and one wolf attacks that flock, even with these numbers, the sheep are going to lose, or at least one of them is going to. Yet as unimpressive as a sheep may be, Jesus wants to emphasize, I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep. The shepherd is the one who watches over the sheep, takes care of them. The sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He realizes how vulnerable the sheep are, so he wants to assure that they will be protected. After all, the sheep are the shepherd's livelihood. He makes his living off of breeding them and selling them, as well as giving the wool and selling it in the marketplace. It makes good business sense for the shepherd to take care of his product. Yet Jesus takes it a step further. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Really? I mean, if you're in the business of shepherding, yes, I understand, it's your livelihood. You want to take all the necessary provisions to preserve your product, but to lay down one's life for them? Part of business is understanding that you're going to have gains and you're going to have losses. The hope is that the profits will and the gains will offset those losses. So if I'm a shepherd and a wolf attacks one of my sheep, I just say, well, that's part of doing business. That's part of the risk. You cut your losses and hope to be able to make a profit with the sheep that remain. Well, not this shepherd. This shepherd says he will lay down his life for his sheep. Now, Jesus also told a parable called the lost sheep, our first scripture reading taken from the Gospel of Luke. You know, Jesus was fond of introducing his parables by saying, the kingdom of God is like. And then he would tell the story. And in this parable, he says, which one of you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 and then go into the wilderness after that one which is lost until it is found? Almost as if to say, well, that's the logical thing to do. Is it, though? You know, I want to preserve the greater numbers if I'm a shepherd. I don't want to abandon 99 sheep in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost. But this crazy shepherd seeks out the one lost sheep. And when he finds it, he hoists it on his shoulders. He rejoices. He calls the neighbors and friends, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the sheep that was lost." And Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. You see, the kingdom of God is not a business. And if we are likened to those helpless creatures, as Jesus describes, and Jesus is the shepherd willing to lay down his life for his sheep or abandon 99 to recover the one that's lost, that says something about what this kingdom is like and who this God is like. Helpless, undeserving sheep, loved by an extraordinary God anyway, who is willing to send his son into the world, who lays down his life for them. Now, of course, there's this part of us that rebels. God, I'll be my own shepherd. Thank you. I'll make my own decisions and I'll carve out my own destiny in this world. I want to be like that eagle, that independent, self-sufficient eagle. You know, when you turn back to the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, we read the creation story. God created the heavens and the earth, and he populates the earth with animals and vegetation and fruit. And then out of the dust, he creates the male and the female, Adam and Eve, in his image. He places them in the garden, and he says, "You may eat of the fruit of every tree in this garden, except this one. You shall not eat." And then the serpent comes along, and he says, "You know, you're not going to die if you eat that fruit. God knows that when you eat of it, you will be like God himself." And so they eat the forbidden fruit, the very thing God commanded them not to do. And the consequence of all this is that Adam and Eve do not become like God himself. Instead, they're in a place where they can't enjoy that fellowship that they had with him. The downfall of Adam and Eve occurred not because of some evil snake or because they chose to eat the wrong fruit. It was their desire to be the rulers of their own destinies, to become like God himself. And their story is our story. We push back on this idea that of someone else being in control of our lives. And so we plow forward and try to be something we just cannot be. And the result is that we must live with the consequences of doing it on our own. You know, people talk about the wrath of God that he's supposed to be bringing upon people because of their disobedience or their lack of faith. But God does not have to go out of his way to punish us at all, because we do such a good job of punishing ourselves. One of the ways that God punishes us is by just letting us go. I think of that person caught in the ravages of addiction, or the guy whose marriage is crumbling because of his own indiscretions. These aren't miseries that God has inflicted on these people. He just simply renders them over to the consequences of their destructive choices. Repeatedly, we are reminded of the consequences of trying to be our own shepherds. Notice Jesus also says, "I know my own and my own know me. They will listen to my voice." This is to say that when the shepherd calls, the sheep recognize the voice of that one who is leading them, and they will respond. It is the voice of the shepherd that guides the sheep. But to truly hear that voice, we need to be familiar with it. We must be in tune with the shepherd who calls after us. What is it that might be preventing us from hearing the voice of the shepherd? Because let's face it, there are plenty of other voices influencing us or distracting us from that voice. voices telling us that the only way to happiness is by way of the things we can buy, a bigger house, a new car, expensive clothes, which others will admire. Purchase this one item, and you'll make yourself complete. There are plenty of influences telling us not the way of sacrifice, not the way of the cross, only the way to self-fulfillment. I heard this quote, and it kind of stuck with me. It said, Americans have this tendency to spend money that they don't have on things they don't need to impress people they don't even like. There are worse things than having the Lord as your shepherd, this crazy shepherd, willing to abandon the 99 sheep for the sake of the one that's lost, this shepherd willing to lay down his life for his sheep. The shepherd is the one who walks with us, even in death's dark valley. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. He leads us into the paths of righteousness. I'm reminded of the story of a little girl. She was in her Sunday school class, and she was to memorize the 23rd Psalm, and she, in order to earn some merit in her Sunday school class, she recited the Psalm over and over again, and then she had to get up in front of her class, and she got nervous, and the moment came, and she flustered, and what came out was this, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." Really, she was speaking the truth. That's what we should aspire to. The great shepherd should be the want in our lives. Amen. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think, to him be the power and the glory now and forever. Amen and amen.